call the meeting to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lank, any changes to the agenda this evening?
Yes, there's one change. Other business item, not numbered, but Smithfield Acres Route 17 has been removed from the agenda at the request of the surveyor. It was removed yesterday.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the agenda with the correction withdrawal as noted by Mr. Lank.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the May 7, 2015 meeting.
General, we've made a couple minor corrections. Vince has reviewed it. Staff has reviewed it. I heard no comments from any of the members. If you so approve, they should be approved as corrected.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the minutes as corrected for the May 7th meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the May 7, 2015 meeting. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Old business. We have one item of old business this evening, and that is change of zone number 1771 B. Ray Investments LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change in zone number 1771 for B. Ray Investments LLC for a change in zone from AR1 to CR1 based upon the record made during a public hearing and for the following reasons. The property is located along U.S. Route 13 Sussex Highway in an area that is basically surrounded by commercial uses and zonings. This location is appropriate for a CR1 zoning. The surrounding uses include Delaware Electric Cooperative across U.S. 113, across Route 13, several businesses and commercial uses to the north and south of the site, and some additional conditional uses. The rezoning to CR1 and the permitted uses in that zone are compatible within the surrounding properties. CR1 zoning is appropriate since the county zoning code states that the purpose of such zoning is to provide for a wide variety of commercial and service activities generally serving a wide area, and that such uses should be located along existing major thoroughfares where a general mixture of commercial and service activities now exist. In this case, the rezoning along U.S. Route 13 falls within the stated purposes of the CR1 district. The use will not adversely affect neighboring properties or area roadways. The applicant will be required to meet or exceed all DLDOT requirements associated with any permitted use of the property. And lastly, no parties appeared in opposition to the application.
Second.
Moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 1771 B. Ray Investments LLC. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We appreciate that you're with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley, for the benefit of the nine people here tonight. I'll read the rules. As Mr. Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission is shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission's meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a telephone or similar device, we also ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. Hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we do ask that they identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statement and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. In addition, Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination will be permitted by the applicant, supporters, or opponents. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will decide if it's necessary to have the question answered and will direct the question to the appropriate person. There will not be any rebuttal by the applicant and request, unless requested or permitted by the commission. Also, individuals supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Our first public hearing is change of zone number 1772, Sussex Ventures, LLC. Mr. Lank, I'm going to turn the gavel over to Vice Chairman Smith, and I'm going to recuse myself from this public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This application is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from AR1 Agriculture Residential District to a CR1 Commercial Residential District for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County. On a parcel containing 2.33 acres, more or less, property is located east of U.S. Route 13, Sussex Highway, 995 feet south of Route 482, Boyce Road. 911 address is not available. Tax map ID is District 132, Map 12, Parcel 112 and 112.05. For the benefit of the record, the commission previously received copies of the survey of the property in their packet, and we have received three agency comments. First agency comment comes from DLDOT, or Department of Transportation, is dated December 11, 2014. It makes reference that the department has reviewed the application, but they cannot presently predict the site's trip generation with enough accuracy to make a traffic impact study useful. Thus, they recommend that this rezoning application be considered without a traffic impact study, and that the need for a traffic impact study be evaluated when a subdivision or land development plan is proposed. They note that the subject property is adjacent to U.S. Route 13, therefore subject to the department's corridor capacity preservation program, which main goal of that program is to maintain the capacity of the existing highway. According to the State Planning Coordination Office, strategies for state policies and spending, the property is located within a level 2 investment area. In this area, state policies will promote efficient, orderly development. The property owner can utilize the existing entrance along U.S. Route 13. The entrance will consist of a rights-in, rights-out access. And they provide also a level of support facilities report dated December 8 of 2014. It makes reference to Sussex Highway from U.S. Route 9 to Delaware 20. To state that the traffic impact study is not recommended. They did not provide the level of service. From the Sussex Conservation District, we received a memorandum on May 18th and being advised that there is one soil type on this application site, that the applicants will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after construction, and there are no storm flood hazard areas affected. There are no tax ditches affected. It is not likely that any off-site drainage improvements will be required, and on-site drainage improvements will be subject to site plan review. From the County Engineering Department, we received a memorandum dated May 19. They're advised that the site is located in the Western Sussex Planning Area Number 3, that conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Study will be required, that the proposed use is not in an area where the county has a schedule to provide SOAR at this time, and therefore a concept plan is not required. Gentlemen, that's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, is there someone here representing this application? Would you be kind enough to give us your name and address? And
sure, Drew Ward, Millsboro, Delaware, I'm with Sussex Ventures.
Don Ward, Millsboro, same.
All right, gentlemen, you've heard what our directors read into the record. Do you have something you'd like to add?
Surely. Our company, Sussex Ventures, purchased this property in October of 2014. The site consists of approximately 2.3 acres located on Sussex Highway about a mile north of Laurel. Sussex Highway is a major north-south arterial roadway, which is consistent with a commercial or a CR1 zoning. Our site's currently being tilled by a local farmer, Dennis Shockley. We've recently cleared a small portion of the woods to allow him to till an additional area of the property. The property to the rear of our site is an Utz potato chip distribution location. The Utz company has been utilizing our property as an entrance access since they purchased the property to the rear about 30 years ago. As you guys can probably see on some of the zoning maps, actually I have a copy if... our particular properties with the arrow and all the surrounding properties are currently zoned commercial. We're requesting a change of zone from the AR1 to a CR1 to be consistent with the neighboring properties and as an infill rezoning. The property is located within a town center district along according to the comprehensive plan. I've spoken with the neighbors immediately on the north and the south side of the property, who both have stated they have no objections to the change of zone. Any future access to the site will utilize the existing entrance on the north side of the property. We believe that the proposed rezoning will not adversely affect any of the neighboring properties or roadway. And we respectfully request this change of zone application be recommended for approval at Sussex County Council. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Unless you have anything else you'd like to add, we'll see if any of the members, other commissioner staff, have any questions, and we will start with Mr. Ross.
Yes, just one question, actually. I mean, what are your plans for the property? Do you have plans to sell the property or use the property? Or?
No, right now it has an existing billboard on the site, and we have no plans specifically today. We have talked about a possible storage, self-storage type facility, but really the in zoning or infill kind of things, but we're just trying to get it consistent with all the neighboring properties and commercial.
So basically you're just surrounded by Indians and you want to put a feather in your cap.
Sort of.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Burton?
The entrance, is that yours or is that the potato chip guy?
We own that.
The little 50 here,
yep,
is
yep.
Part of the parcel,
correct,
that's
correct.
Being...
Yep, that piece, the sliver of land, whatever size, yes, that goes, there's two tracks, the 112 and 112.05. We own both of them. When the piece in the rear was sold many years ago, the Utz company has a perpetual easement across that to get to their site.
But the zoning is for both the 2.3 and the little sliver?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you. No further questions.
Janelle, have any questions? Mr. Robertson?
No question.
Mr. Lang?
The little history of the site. Is that not the originally a Midway drive-in theater site that was converted to the Utz for the Utz facility? Or is that further to the
That's
rear?
To the south.
Contiguous.
It's contiguous to the south.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
South and the east.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But that access was used for the same purpose.
What's that?
It's a different access.
I thought they were the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
The access to the theater is on the south side of this property.
Okay, I'm looking at both sides. I was thinking it was on both sides.
The access to the Utz uses is on the north side of the
property. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I'd like to take a seat in your Bible, see if anyone has an interest in your application. We'll start by asking if there's anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone 1772. Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1772? Anyone on the commission or staff have any other questions? If not, we will close the public hearing. You're invited to spend the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may simply call the office tomorrow. I will now turn the gavel over to Chairman Wheatley.
Thank you, sir. The next public hearing is change of zone number 1773, Ernest and Donna DeAngelis.
This ordinance is to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 9.541 acres, more or less. Property located south of Route 9, Seashore Highway, 800 feet west of Road 262 Fisher Road. 911 address is not available. Tax map ID is District 235, Map 30, Parcel 53. For the benefit of the record, does the commission all have copies of the packet that was submitted by Mr. Willard?
Okay.
For the record, for the public, we did receive a packet of information, a small booklet form. It contains a survey and aerials in reference to state law, county law, the tax map, the comprehensive plan, future land use map, comprehensive plan developing areas, DLDOT Route 9 project under construction, a DLDOT support facilities report, a conceptual plan, a DLDOT response, and a copy of ordinance number 2351 for change zone 1744, which was approved. Planning zoning minutes for change of zone 1744 and some proposed findings of fact. We did receive a couple agency comments, On November 13 of 2014, we received DLDOT comments on this application. Makes reference to the location, the proposed rezoning. Makes reference that this project parcel is large enough to meet the criteria for a traffic impact study, but the subject parcel, they cannot presently predict the site's trip generation with enough accuracy to make a traffic impact study useful. Thus, they recommended this rezoning application be considered without a traffic impact study, and that the need for a traffic impact study be evaluated when a subdivision or land development plan is proposed. The support facilities report attached does make reference to Route 9 and does not provide levels of service. The next comment was the Sussex Conservation District. It was a memorandum received on May 18th. It makes reference that there are two soil types on the property that the applicants would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of construction. That there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected. That the scope of the project may dictate the need for off-site drainage improvements. And in reference to on-site drainage improvements, once the details of the project are underway, there will probably be a need for some on-site improvements. And lastly, from the County Engineering Department, we received a memorandum. The site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area. Conformity to that planning study will be required. The proposed use is not in an area, where the county has a schedule to provide sewer service at this time and that a concept plan is not required. We received no letters of opposition, no letters of support. And the gentleman, that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Willard.
Mr. Chairman,
Members of the commission, I'm Tim Willard with Fuquay, Orion Willard, located here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant in this change of zone application. The applicant is Ernie DeAngelis and his wife Donna. They own this property. Just a little bit about them. He's a successful businessman here in eastern Sussex. If you're familiar with Tomato Sunshine on Route 1 just north of Dover, that's Ernie's business. He's been there for years. And he also has an H&R Block franchise as well, and he's raised three boys here in the Cape Henlopen Local District. The property, I'm going to basically go through. Everyone got one of my little booklets. I'm going to run through that as far as my presentation is concerned. And then if you have questions, obviously. As far as the property's location, it's right on Route 9, about a half a mile, less than that, east of Harbison. And you see a survey of it located in tab number 1. I think what's significant about it, and I'll talk a little bit more about the history, is it's bounded on either side, well, obviously one side, by Route 9. It has about 650 feet of frontage. On the other side is a pretty major, on the east boundary of this, it's a square pretty much property, is a major a power line that runs down that. And then the south side of it is the railroad line. Okay, and in the west side is a property that you just all approved for CR1 pretty recently. It was the Veggie Shack, and you'll probably recall that. And the second page of that tab just gives you an aerial of it, shows you that most of it is forested right now, but it's an aerial view, Google Earth shot of it. The third is not much helpful, and that's a blowout of that. I've also provided some state law, which I probably don't need to do because you're well-versed in that, but it helps me focus as far as the hierarchy of law in this case. It's our contention in our application tonight that this change of zone is consistent not only with your comp plan, but also with what's going on in that area, which I think is the purpose of your zoning law. That's why I've included it in tab 3 and tab 4. In tab 4, I actually have the tax map that I've colored for you. The yellow, I hope they're all colored. They should be. The yellow is at the applicant property, and it's at the top of the page, and that's you know, westernmost. There's CR right next to it, which was just granted CR. CR down the road. There's some non-conforming commercial activity that I'll speak about all along that road up to what we call, you know, Harbison Center. And you can see the CR on the other side of the road. In particular, if you were traveling from Lewis to Harbison through Harbison, what you'd find right before you come up to Mr. DeAngelo's property on the left, where there's a liquor store, doctor's offices, some garages, that's outside of your development district, but there is commercial activity there. Then when you cross Fisher and Hudson Road, where the development district begins, you'll see what the Veggie Shack, which was just some commercial, Peachtree Home, which is a home for brain injury individuals. Next to that is Donut Connection. Next to that is Harbison Business Park that has a lot of contractors housing in there. Next to that is the Bird Shop. Next to that is Custom Framers, where they have their contractor business in the contractor yard next to that. Then there's some sort of Tupperware business. I'm not sure if that's what that is, but there's a sign out front. And then I'm sure you're all familiar with the deli there, the barber shop at the corner. If you were to turn around and head back down that road, there's a HVAC business on the corner there. The new Dragon Liars business is there on the corner. Then you find Sherman Heating. There's some industrial use that's probably non-conforming there, but Davidson Home Moving business is there. I think it's identified as CR1 on the zoning map I've given you. Sherman Heating is, Sherman's, one of their offices is there. Used to be Dry Zone was there, the business that redid basements. There's Classic Auto Repair, a couple other miscellaneous businesses. And there's also across the street some residential. There's Trails at Beaver Creek, obviously, and Hunter's Mill, and then there's MR that is down the street just west of that. So it's mixed use, but there's a fair amount of commercial activity that's there. Excuse me. I've included in tab 5 a copy of your future land use plan zoning map. And why this is significant is that this property is in a development district. And why that is, and as Ms. Cornwell has pointed out, I had a brief conversation with her about it. It's kind of hard to focus on that, or at least I'd try to blow it up. And the district maps for future land use, they don't seem to necessarily jibe with tax maps. And sometimes you wonder, why did they draw that line? But as she pointed out to me, that it looks like the top right corner of Mr. DeAngelis's property is there's a line that goes through it. So that little top corner might be, I think, residential, mixed residential. I don't know why that was done. I don't know if it was intended to just follow the power line or what. But it's clear that the majority of this property is the yellow, which is a developing district, in my opinion. And that's significant because in the prior comp plan, it wasn't. In 2008, I think in the council's wisdom, they said, well, this is obviously, Harbison is obviously a commercial area that we're going to recognize, and this is where we're going to draw the line for development district. And he was the outer edge of it. Why is that significant? Because the developing district calls for emerging growth, and I quote from it, it's supposed to be on main arterial roads that connect major destinations within the county, Georgetown and Lewis. Permitted uses or commercial uses should be allowed, light commercial. And that's why he's applied for CR in this particular case. I've also included what is a summary of the DLDOT HSIP, Sussex County, US 9 project summary. If any of you have driven on Route 9 lately, it's pretty torn up because it's being fixed up. And a focus point of that is the Hudson-Fisher Road intersection. And that intersection is just a couple hundred feet down from where this property is located on the south side. If you look at that tab and you say, why is DLDOT doing it? DLDOT says the project has two purposes, to reduce the potential for crashes and increase the capacity at those intersections and on that road, because they're adding different, you know, turn lanes at those intersections, which would benefit any development in that area. That's why I've included that. And if you've been down there, it's hard not to see it. It seems like DLDOT, for these areas, in response to service evaluation, you heard their letter response from the first application. Mr. DeAngelis got a similar one. When you come with a site plan, let us take a look at it, and we may need to review a TIS. It's a little under 10 acres. It's wooded. But, you know, in justification for them, they said, well, when you develop it, let's see what it looks like, then we'll decide what we're going to do. I had further conversation with Mr. Brockenbaugh in response to that letter, because I hadn't seen it one like that before. And, well, he said, what do you have in mind? And I know maybe that won't be helpful for you, but I think sometimes you ask that question like you did before. And that's why we've included what Mr. DeAngelis has come up with as a concept plan for this. And it's merely that. It's at tab 9. And what he's come up with is storage facilities with some contracted eight contractor shops and a little bit of retail, maybe 3 units at the front, kind of a mixed use, which I think complements what the developing district calls for, something that is not industrial or heavy commercial, but that will help support the mixed use area. And again, this is just a concept plan. In response to that, and having sent that to DLDOT, we got the February 16th letter from them saying that based on this concept plan, if I can quote, it would not warrant a traffic impact study. The big nut, obviously, for all of this, depending on what he intends to do or any future owner intends to do, is obviously going to be entrance permits and things like that. I think that the applicant next door got into that and had to spend a little money on that, but that's the way that goes. Moving right along, I've included ordinance number 2351. Why? Because that was 3 acres right next door, and that's when County Council decided to agree with your recommendation that parcel their finding in that ordinance. If I can turn to page 3 of that, the parcel has nearby and adjacent commercial properties. The parcel has been used in the past for commercial. They had, I think, their history of that, that they had a CU for a produce stand or something. The location along Route 9 is appropriate for CR1. The rezoning will not adversely affect the adjacent properties, the neighborhood, or the area roads. No parties appeared in opposition. Any change in the site will require site plan approval from Sussex Planning and Zoning Commission. Based on the record recommendations, they approved CR for that parcel, which is right next door. And I probably don't need to tell you what you did, but in tab 12 is what you all did unanimously recommending that approval. And I've included some proposed findings, which I think you already have drafts of those in your, I don't know if Mr. Robertson ever uses those, but if I could just call Mr. DeAngelis up for a sec, unless, Ernie? Mr. DeAngelis, you've heard my presentation to the commission about your application for a change of zone. Are my representations to the commission true and correct?
They are.
To the best of your knowledge? Gentlemen, that's all we have, if you have any questions.
All right, so we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Burton.
All right. I think I asked this question on the vegetable stand one, and I don't remember the answer. Is the Breakwater Lane, is that public or private?
I believe it's private, and I'm a little disappointed you asked that, because I'm disappointed I don't have the answer. Because on Monday I wanted to confirm that, and I inquired with my title searcher.
It's private.
It's a private road.
That's what I would say.
And that goes back to a development. I didn't drive down. Does that feed a development? Is that?
If you look at the tax map,
it goes back to 5 or 6 parcels.
Okay.
It was developed by Daly Mall, typically for family members, and it was done over time. Wasn't done all at once. They came back to the commission 2 or 3 times for minor subdivision approvals.
But that could not be incorporated into an access into this in this site without?
It could be if Mr. Maul and the other owners agreed.
Okay, but it's legally wide enough and all that?
Yeah, it's 50 foot right away.
Okay. Are there any wetlands on this site, Tim?
I don't know. Mr. DeAngelis might be able to, from not a technical standpoint, it hasn't been, in my mind, recently surveyed for that purpose, but I don't know if, Ernie, you can take
When I purchased the property at the time, it was laid out for a subdivision back in late 90s, and there were no wetlands at that time.
Is there a different setback with those power lines? Is there any respect given to them if there was a development, any kind of build? I know this is a concept design, but you seem to be right up against the.
I don't know the answer to that question. As far as on his property, how close could a building be? Does it differ than normal commercial? I don't know the answer to that question. It seems they give him a pretty wide berth to start with.
Yeah, you're not allowed to encroach the easement with any structures.
And this property line is not in that easement at all?
Let me see.
This seems to run right up against it.
Right one. No, it butts right up to the right-of-way. The right-of-way is 150 wide. It's not on the property at all.
Okay.
They would be standard setbacks, whatever they were, based on the zoning from that property line. No relationship to the easement.
And then my last one is this Mr. Brackenbaugh's letter. So how does that work? So if it were to be granted, as the way I read it is that if it were to be granted a CR, then whatever gets done to it, they go back to Deldot, and then Deldot would say, okay, we've done a TIS, and you have to do this, that, and the other. Is that how you read it?
Yeah, I think it's all, and Mr. Lank can, I'm sure, weigh in on this, but it's all true.
I've never seen that right.
That's been a standard comment for about the last 3 or 4 months.
Which is, Mr. Burton, why I called Mr. Brockenbrough, because I hadn't seen it. I'm like, okay, what's this about? And it makes sense. They're not necessarily weighing in on your decision, which is should be appropriately zoned, but the site can't. Plan can vary dramatically on all the potential uses, so it's really hard for them to weigh in, but that'll trigger their review no matter what. because you're going to have an entrance permit, and that might trigger a TIS depending on what you want to do. What we just try to explore is, well, this is our concept, and we were kind of pleased to hear that it wasn't going to trigger a TIS. That's why we sent them the concept plan.
Could that concept plan be done with a CU or a B1?
Oh, absolutely.
Assuming a CU would be okay, but a B...
Yeah, absolutely. He says no. You can do anything with a CU, can't you, Mr. Lank?
Many storage isn't permitted use in a B1.
Is not.
Not.
In a B1. Yeah. So they could do
any storage. If he had a business there and he had storage that was related to that business, to serve that business, then he could have storage for that purpose, but not open self-storage facilities in a B1.
Okay. Good. I have no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
No questions. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Ross?
No, it's a very complete record. No questions.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell?
No questions.
Mr. Lank?
No questions.
Counselor?
None here either. Thanks.
All right, then, gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1773, Ernest and Donna DeAngelis? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1773? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1774, John R. and Susan K. Eisenbray.
Try again. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from AR1 Agriculture Residential District to CR1 Commercial Residential District for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 31,200 square feet, more or less. Property is located south of Lewis Georgetown Highway, Route 9, 7/10 of a mile east of Route 5 at Harbison. 911 address is 26822 Lewis Georgetown Highway, Harbison. The tax map ID is District 235, Map 30, Parcel 58.02, and it is a part of that parcel. The commission has been provided previously with a copy of the survey data for this application. We have received three agency comments. First one being a Department of Transportation dated January 23rd, 2015. The department has reviewed the application and provide that they cannot presently predict the site's trip generation with enough accuracy to make a traffic impact study useful. Thus, they recommend that this rezoning application be considered without a traffic impact study and that the need for a traffic impact study be evaluated when the subdivision or land development plan is proposed. The current level of service on this site location is level of service E. From Route 9, from Delaware 5 to the Dairy Farm Road, which would be the Hopkins Dairy Farm. And I don't know if that'll change with all the improvements that they're making on Route 9 or not. The Sussex Conservation District provided comments on May 18, 2015. There's one soil type on this application site. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of construction. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected. There may not be a need for off-site drainage improvements. It all depends on the project proposed, and there is a possibility that on-site drainage improvements will be required. The Sussex County Engineering Department provided comments. The site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area. The applicants would have to conform to the North Coastal Planning Study. The proposed use is not in an area where the county has a schedule to provide sewer service at this time, and a concept plan, therefore, is not required. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, then. Gentlemen.
Good evening. My name is Bill Schaub, and I'm here with Mr. Pennington, whose name is not Eisenbray. So this is a fairly unusual application this evening. As far as the application goes, the history is this. The Eisenbrays bought this property a number of years ago, and in January, late in 2014, put it up for sale. Mr. Pennington and his partner, and he'll describe his business a little bit, signed a contract, and when they signed the contract, they were told it was zoned commercial. Well, it turns out, in fact, it's sort of this. It's 1.75 acres, and the front, 45,000 square feet, is zoned C1 and was zoned by the Planning and Zoning Commission, recommended to the Sussex County Council, was approved in 1987. So no one mentioned to Mr. Pennington that the back of the property, for reasons were not quite clear, was AR1. And so for the last almost 20 years, the property's been used for commercial purposes. You would all be familiar with it. It was Peninsula Masonry. And then EDIS rented it, and now my client had bought it. So it's been used for commercial purposes. The back is an open air. So the front has a main building and then a storage building in the back. All the buildings, everything that was used for any commercial use was in the C1 part of this property. The back was just open space, and I suppose was probably used for parking trucks on and the like over the years. Well, when my client bought it, we found out after the contract was signed that, in fact, it was half commercial, half AR1. And then we also found out that, and this was not, and believe me, we're not saying anybody misled. It just no one thought about it because it's, everyone thinks of it as commercial property because it is. The buildings are in the commercial zone. The Eisenbrays had, in fact, filed an application here to change the zone of the back property. Now, I meant to ask Eric Howard, who filed on the behalf, and I forgot, and Mr. Lank may know the answer to this. I'm not quite sure why they didn't ask for C1 zoning in the back to comply with the C1 zoning in the front, but instead the application is for CR1 in the back.
Because C1's a closed district, that's all. That's the only reason for
okay.
That. So you can't do that anymore, yeah.
That's all right, so that's...
C1 is still valid for those parcels that are already zoned C1, but any further subdivision for similar type zoning is CR1.
I got you. I should have known that. Thank you very much. So that's the answer. So we went and found out that there was an application pending. Because of the nature of the transaction, my clients didn't want to hold up the settlement to have this decision made, really mainly because there's enough commercial space to do what they need to do. But because it's a business, and he'll explain his business, having a commercially zoned backyard to go with a commercially zoned front yard makes a whole heck of a lot of sense, because then he doesn't have to quite worry, are they stepping over the bounds if they cross this line, artificial line in their property? Are they doing something that's not allowed in a commercial zone, whereas that same event or occurrence is allowed 10 feet on the other side of the line. So we are here tonight on behalf of the owner, and the owner is now Apeasy LLC, APEASI LLC, and Mr. Pennington can explain what that stands for and what he's doing there. And again, I have given Mr. Robertson a little package of information, and I know the rule about getting stuff ahead of time. As I mentioned, Mr. Robertson, none of this is new. This is just background information that is all either in the record, already in your folders that I've gone through, or is from prior decisions here. But what happened is this land, like most of our land, was originally farmland. Bob Durham and Stan Thompson bought it in the 70s. And in 1976, they sold a piece, 7.751 acres, to Pat Quillen from Quillen Signs in Milton. In 1981, so he still owned 7 3/4 acres. And it was a little odd-shaped. It was sort of a L-shaped piece. He came to the commission and asked for commercial zoning of the first, it was 50 feet, 150 feet wide, the first 300 feet, and was given, and as I put in there, the decision was it was a 45,000 square foot piece and sought C1 zoning, was granted that. Right after that, he then cut off 1.75 acres, which is the front half is the 45,000 square feet of commercial zoning, and the back is 0.6 acres or so, and sold that then in, actually held on to it for quite a while, and then sold it to the Eisenbrays in 1996, and they then built the buildings that presently exist. Again, then used it for Peninsula Masonry, EDIS. It is our hope tonight to just basically make the backyard of this property consistent with the front yard of the property. Tim Willard and I should have had both of these applications together because Tim's is just seven lots down from this property. So everything he said, pretty much everything he said about that, his works here, except the only difference here is we already got part of it zoned commercial. We're just asking for the back part. I think as a practical matter, certainly it would make sense. Right next door, all the properties along there, when Tim was going down Route 9, he jumped over our property. But there are actually more commercial uses and more commercially zoned than he even mentioned, because you have the veggie shack, and then you have Donut Connection, and then you have Harbison Business Park, then us, then the old wood company, and then the bird farm, and those are all, they're not right in a row. There are lots in between. I know another one of a client of mine has an application or soon to have an application in for one of the empty parcels that's between the Donut Connection Veggie Shack. So it's clearly in an area where, one, it's a commercial use. Of course, what better evidence of the fact that the front of this property is commercially zoned? It's certainly consistent with all uses in the area. It's certainly not going to adversely affect anyone. The CR zoning would be, as Mr. Pennington can explain, is consistent with what he wants to do there. And in fact, what he wants to do at the moment is just store stuff on the back. He has no plan to build. As part of his purchase, not that it really matters for zoning, he had a phase one environmental study done and everything was clean. There are bathrooms in each of the houses, so they had that septic inspections and all that went okay. And in fact, he doesn't intend to do any building at all at the present time. He just intends to use the back for storage. And what I would like to do then is have Mr. Pennington tell you a little bit about what he's doing in Sussex County, if I may.
Good evening, gentlemen. Andrew Pennington from Wilmington, Delaware. We are using the facility. We are road equipment dealers, heavy equipment dealers specializing in road equipment. And I'm sure if you've been up and down Route 9 over the last week, you've seen our sign that we've taken down the EDIS and put our sign up. And I've been spending a lot of time down here getting this put together. We're having our grand opening on the 13th of June. But we're basically going to be paving the front 180 feet for equipment display, and we'll be using that back area for used equipment storage, maybe boat and RV storage, but it's just going to be for just for storage. Trucks, things of that nature.
Could you explain the commission how the business is going so far?
Well, we have a location in Wilmington. Since we've put the sign up, I've gotten over 40 phone calls this week from local contractors. When are the doors going to open? We have a very successful operation in Wilmington, and under our contractual agreement with Atlas Copco, to cover the state of Delaware and keep our customers happy. That's why we come to Sussex County.
And you heard my presentation to the commission about the property. To the best of your knowledge, is what I said to the commission true?
100%.
I don't think I have any other questions. As I said at the beginning, it's just taking care of what probably should have happened a long time ago.
All right, then we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Burton.
So the request is to go from C1 to CR1 on the total site.
No, it's C1 and AR1 now. It's right. It's to make the AR1 part CR1.
So we're going to have C1 and CR1 if it...
Yeah, just because you cannot apply for C1 anymore. That's a closed district. So CR1's basically the same as C1. The only difference is in C1 you could get 12 units an acre residential. CR1, you got to go for a conditional use to get the residential. Everything else is the same. So it's really, aside from that...
So we're really looking at 0.6 acres.
Of commercial use, commercial zoning.
That's the only zoning decision that we'd be looking at is just the back.
And it'll make the whole piece, for all intents and purposes, it'll make the whole piece one zoning.
Two categories.
Two categories, but the difference is...
Be all commercial.
Yeah.
The same, be consistent.
I have no further questions.
Okay, Mr. Smith?
I understand the application, thank you.
Mr. Ross?
No questions.
Okay, Ms. Cornwell?
No questions.
Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions, thanks.
All right then, gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. I'll find it again. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1774, John R. and Susan K. Eisenbray? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1774? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you much.
Okay. Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1776, Larry Yoder.
Anyone here on behalf of the applicant?
Okay, then. Since there's no one here to create a record, let's pass this for now. We'll go on, do our other business. We'll come back to it at the end. So just a reminder that the commission has no other choice except to deny an application that is not represented. So... if someone should happen to show up in the meantime, we'll be happy to postpone it till the end. So we'll wait. We'll just move on to other business if that's agreeable.
Make that as a consensus.
Yeah. That's a consensus. Agreed.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to.
Excellent idea.
All right then. Other business. Our first item is Americana Bayside, Route 54, amended Phase 4 site plan.
This plan is to amend the final site plan for Phase 4 of Americana Bayside to relocate an existing tiki bar from the east side of the Sunridge Clubhouse to the east side of the pool at the corner of Honeysuckle Terrace and 4th Cynthia Drive. Americana Bayside Phase 4 is part of the MRRPC application. No agency approvals are required for the relocation of the amenity.
Bill, that wasn't going to comment on the tiki bar being moved.
I don't think so.
Well, I feel like you can't have Honeysuckle Terrace without a tiki bar. So, Mr. Chairman, my motion is for approval as an amended Phase 4 site plan, Sunridge Pool, Americana Bayside.
Second.
The move is seconded to approve Americana Bayside Route 54 amended Phase 4 site plan Sunridge Pool. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried. Your next item is Atlantic Business Properties LLC, U.S. Route 13. Mr. Lank, I'm going to turn the gavel over to Mr. Smith and recuse myself from this item of other business.
Atlantic Business Properties LLC is seeking an interpretation of a similar use within the L12 Light Industrial District from the Planning Commission. The company is looking to lease out a portion of an existing manufacturing building for the use of wood shavings production. The use of wood shavings production is not identified as a permitted use within the L12 Light Industrial District. However, the applicant would like the Planning Commission to determine if it is a similar to other uses that are permitted within that zoning district. Logs are brought onto the site and stored outside. The logs are then cut and then brought into the building to be processed into the desired size. They are dried, packaged, and shipped. A letter from the applicant providing more detail was included in your packet. Thank you.
This, I mean, we haven't had one of these in a little while. It's not, it's a little bit unusual with the LI-2. They list a whole bunch of things. There's not like a formal process where you go to the Board of Adjustment or anything else to see if it's permitted. What it says is, Ms. Cornwell stated, you know, there's a whole long list, and if you're not in that list, the commission can determine if you're similar enough to what's on that list that you're permitted. You know, sometimes we say you got to go to the conditional use if it's not specifically listed, or you got to go to the Board of Adjustment if it's not specifically listed here. It's really sort of informally up to the commission to determine, is it similar? And if it is, then it's permitted.
Yeah. And I think it's my understanding these wood shavings are used in the poultry business primarily. Would that be correct, Mr. Ross?
I would think so. There's not that much composting, so... Yeah, it would be. Uh-huh. I would personally, as a tree farmer, I would like to have the more trees used, the better, because we can't sell our trees for having, especially our thinning. So go for it.
Yeah. Mr. Burton, do you have any thoughts or comments on this interpretation of similarity in use?
No, I don't. And I, the area that they're requesting is all commercial. It's the old Nanico Homes, part of it.
Light industrial. It's all light industrial.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't have a problem.
I don't see a problem at all.
No, I think it's just a classification that wasn't a part of the umbrella of uses when the ordinances and uses were stipulated. So... I'll entertain a motion from anyone that's so inclined.
We'll see.
It's just as simple as a motion to state that what they've proposed be considered permitted use in LI-2.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
Gentlemen, we have a motion and a second. As Mr. Robertson stated, Mr. Ross's motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Mr. Frank, let the record reflect 3-0 with Mr. Johnson, of course, absent, and the chairman not present for the voting. Our next item, Smithfield Acres, was withdrawn, and that will bring us back to Chairman Wheatley taking over for subdivision 2014-6, James Swan 2, for the second.
Thank you. This is a final subdivision plan for the creation of 5 lots to be located off Signet Drive and Zion Church Road, Route 20. A portion of the property is zoned AR1 Agricultural Residential District. The parcel IDs are District 533, Map 12, Parcels 297 and 364. The property is 3.4 acres. The Planning Commission granted preliminary approval on December 6, 2014. The office is in receipt of DLDOT's letter of no objection. Staff is still awaiting approval from the engineering department. Thank you.
And thank you. And I believe, if refreshing my memory as well as the others sitting up here this evening, this application came on other business at some time ago. We required a public hearing. It was just two parcels on either side of Signet Drive, correct? That were slated for future use.
All the lots originally they were intended to apply for commercial. They never did.
Yeah.
They came back in and applied for, as you said, a site plan approval, and the commission referred it to public hearing. They came to the public hearing, got approval. There's 5 lots total. 1 lot fronts on Route 20.
Yeah.
And the other lot, Zion Church Road, I couldn't think of the name of it, and Signet Drive within the subdivision, the street's already built.
Right, correct. I think a part of the reason why we wanted the public hearing was so that anybody with an interest and all the people in the occupants of the subdivision would know what was going on at their entrance, and since they've complied with that, Mr. Chairman, my motion is for approval as a final of the subdivision plan creating 5 lots located off Signet Drive and Zion Church Road.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2014-6, James Swan III, final subdivision 5 lot expansion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Leslie Johnson, Neal's School Road lot and 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision for the creation of one lot off an existing 50-foot easement, White Dove Lane. The property is located on the west side of Neal's School Road, Road 553. The property is zoned AR1, Agricultural Residential District. The parcel ID is District 531, Map 9, Parcel 23. The current parcel utilizes the existing 50-foot easement. The new parcel will also utilize the 50-foot easement for access and frontage. A survey of the proposed minor subdivision shall be required prior to recordation for review by staff. Staff is awaiting DLDOT approval letter.
Ms. Weed, this was the old Slater property.
Yeah.
Out at, almost at the curve.
Yeah.
Going down Neal School Road.
Yeah, I get it now. Yeah. You say we're waiting for something from DLDOT?
We're waiting for DLDOT's letter of no objection.
We can approve it subject to, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. They're waiting for that for verification that DLDOT approves the use of the entrance for an existing lot.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, regarding this application by Leslie Johnson, Neal School Road, for a minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement, my motion is for approval creating one lot off an existing 50-foot right-of-way, I guess a preliminary approval, with final approval subject to the staff receiving all agency approvals as well as the DLDOT letter.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve a lot and 50-foot easement for Leslie Johnson on Neal School Road subject to receipt of all other approvals and a DLDOT letter of no objection. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Rehoboth Shores Area 2, Long Neck Road, Campground and Manufactured Home Park Revision.
This is a preliminary site plan for the conversion of a campground into a mobile home lots. The property is located on the east side of Long Neck Road. The property is zoned AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Parcel ID is District 234, Map 24, Parcel 35. This application is for a portion of the property. The property is a mixture of mobile home lots and campground lots. The plan will allow for the establishment of 57 mobile home lots. Staff is awaiting approvals from the other reviewing agencies. Thank you.
To be a little additional information, a few years ago we went through the public hearing process to convert two portions of this Rehoboth Shores manufactured home community into camp sites, and the applicant chose to not develop that portion within the mobile home park portion that was originally existing, and they basically trying to reinstate those lots back into the manufactured home park, which they really didn't, they were there before. They're just not going, they're going to not develop campsites in that location, but we would still need all new agency approvals.
So the dimensions are the same, whether they're campgrounds or mobile?
No, they would be designed at the manufactured home lot size is required, and basically it's the same layout as what existed prior under the previous approval for a conditional use for the manufactured home park.
They changed their mind.
Well, they're going to do half of it, right. Mm-hmm. And there is a representation here if you want to hear it. Any other person left?
I'm good.
Mr. Chairman, my motion regarding the applicant, Rehoboth Shores Area 2, is for approval as a preliminary site plan, converting the campground into 57 mobile home lots.
Second.
So moved and seconded to approve as a preliminary the Rehoboth Shores Area 2 Long Neck Road Campground Manufactured Home Park Revision site plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Overlook 2, MRRPC, Bayville Road, Phase 2, Preliminary Plan, 5 units.
This is a preliminary subdivision for Phase 2 of the Overlook. The phase of the subdivision will create 5 townhouse units. The units will be located on the west side of Watchtower Drive. The property is zoned MR, Medium Density Residential District, and is an RPC. The overall subdivision has 173 units. The subdivision is a mixture of single-family and townhouses. Parcel ID is District 533, Map 20, Parcel 7. Staff is awaiting approvals from the other reviewing agencies. Thank you.
This is sort of a redesign of a section along the old Bayville Road because the state abandoned a portion of Bayville Road and dedicated it to the property owners of Overlook and the properties of the Mara Lakes parcel. So they retweaked their line and came up with this little layout for these 5 units.
Mr. Chairman, there's a representative of the applicant here. Do you mind if we hear from him?
I would like to because he looks a little distressed.
A little bit, sorry.
Were you thrown off by the word units?
I was thrown off by the word preliminary.
Oh, well, we'll let that, you'll have to take that up with our director because that's what it says.
Do you have all agency approvals?
Yes, sir.
Do we have them?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Didn't know that.
We have to search for them, I guess.
I can.
Grant preliminary and final could be subject to the staff.
That's fair enough.
Yes, sir. Okay. For the record, I'm Jason Palkowitz, just so you know that.
I think you ran down here because we're moving so fast.
Could you show me on here?
Yes, sir.
The subject area, that's. Says it's the west side of Watchtower Drive.
It's just this little area in here.
Yeah.
We had all agency approvals, but we didn't have, we abandoned the section of Bayville Road that was not finalized. So when we did the first phase, brought the first phase into you,
that's why I needed to have
this
you come
is,
up
this
here.
This one was received on, this is the approved set. This is not the set that was submitted. This is the set that was actually signed by you guys on October 14th.
Maybe it's an actual wrong one.
Oops. Same thing.
Well, hang on. We've got everything right here.
Well, I don't remember seeing that.
That's the right one.
That's the right one.
The one Marty has?
Hey, yes.
Mr. Ross.
Share that with everyone. 14.
Yeah, the subject area is this little area here. It was part of the original plan. So you see how the difference in the
I've got the right one.
I got 14. What's the date of yours? What's the date of Rodney's?
Date of mine is October 16th.
An actual stamp. This is correct.
This is the right one.
You have the right one.
These are the lots you're talking about, right?
Yeah, this one is not right.
Okay, well, that's your yard. Yeah.
And so the difference is.
That's why I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I know. No wonder you couldn't find it.
I ran up there. It
wasn't there.
If you notice, we left this out of the final plat for the first phase because we abandoned a portion of Bayville Road.
Uh huh.
And this shows the abandonment and the adjustment and these units in here. So it was square and over, and now it's, in other words, the right of way used to be over here.
Yeah.
So it's just for these, adding those 5.
Yes.
Okay. This is in the state of Delaware, this isn't it?
It's in the state of Delaware.
Oh, okay.
Wanted to make sure we had that right. Didn't know if we were in Worcester County or.
I think when they brought them in, we had the original.
It's real close down there.
Original and the proposed site together, and it got shuffled. Plum out. You submitted the original set plus the 5 lots, I think.
Yeah, the other 5 lots.
I don't know.
Anyway, I mean, I think that's what would happen. And they got shuffled across.
Here. Right there.
But it's 5 units.
Yeah.
It's in the right easement. It's within the residential plan community boundaries.
Gotcha.
So I can get you copies of all the other approval letters again. If you
them. Yeah, we just we just have to find them. We've had a shuffle here lately, you know.
I'll walk them down tomorrow to you.
Okay.
Okay.
If you grant approval, you can grant approval as a preliminary final subject to the staff receiving all agency approvals, then we're good.
Well, Mr. Chairman, then my motion will be as stated by Mr. Lank.
Second.
Verbatim.
Second.
All right, then. We'll move and seconded to approve Overlook 2 MRRPC Bayville Road as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all of the permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that completes our agenda. We will go back to change of zone number 1776, Larry Yoder, if there's anyone here representing this application. And apparently there is not, so we'll entertain a motion to deny for lack of a record.
And Mr. Chairman, I will make that motion. Not enthusiastically, but I will make it nonetheless procedurally. As you stated, we're drawn to deny if we have no one in appearing or creating a record. So, Mr. Chairman, regarding change of zone number 1776, the applicant Larry and Jeanette Yoder, my motion is for recommendation of denial for lack of a record.
Second.
Moved and seconded to recommend denial of change of zone number 1776, Larry Yoder, for lack of a record. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. All right. Referring
gentlemen, if I may.
Yeah.
That we just passed a new ordinance recently that would allow him to come back and explain why he did not appear. If we feel it's substantial enough record, then we can reconsider it. We'd have to go back through the process, still hold a public hearing later on.
Okay.
But it gives it the chance to, rather than do a wait 1 year.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We just passed that a few months ago.
Yeah, now.
It'd be the first one.
Yeah, Mr. Robinson, does that have any bearing on the motion that was just made? We still have to deny it, right? And then they have to come back.
They would have, and they have the burden of showing back. That it's yeah. There was a legitimate reason.
Right.
Burden of proof to show that it just calls.
Sure.
Not to appear.
Well, we certainly want them to have that opportunity.
So. Oh, yeah.
And there was also an amendment based on the commission's recommendation on that ordinance where they can't skip us and go to the council either.
Right.
They have to start back at this level.
Okay. Yeah, certainly like that part. Okay, referring back to our public hearings this evening, our first public hearing was change of zone number 1772, Sussex Ventures, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change in zone number 1772, Sussex Ventures, LLC, for a change in zone from AR1 to CR1 based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the property is located along U.S. Route 13, Sussex Highway, in an area that is basically surrounded by commercial uses and zonings. This location is appropriate for CR1 zoning. Two, surrounding uses include the Nuts Potato Chip Distributor Center and several other businesses and commercial uses to the north and south of the site, and some additional conditional uses. The rezoning of CR1 and permitted uses in that zone are compatible with the surrounding properties. This is basically an infill rezoning. Three, CR1 zoning is appropriate since the county zoning code states that the purpose of such zoning is to provide for a wide variety of commercial and service activities, generally serving a wide area, and that such uses should be located along existing major thoroughfares where a general mixture of commercial and service activities now exist. In this case, the rezoning along US 13 falls within the stated purposes of the CR1 zoning district. Four, the use will not adversely affect neighboring properties or area roadways. Five, the applicant will be required to meet or exceed all DLDOT requirements associated with any permitted use of the property. And six, no parties appeared in opposition to the application.
Second.
Moving seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1772, Sussex Ventures, LLC. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The record show that the motion carried 3-0 with the chairman abstaining because he did not participate in the public hearing.
Our next public hearing was change of zone number 1773, Ernest and Donna DeAngelis.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change of zone 1773 for Ernest and Donna DeAngelis for a change in zone from AR1 to CR1 based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The property fronts on Route 9 and is surrounded on two sides by power lines and a railroad right-of-way. The other boundary is CR1 zoning that was recently approved by the county. CR1 zoning is appropriate in this location. CR1 zoning is appropriate in this general area of Route 9 where other businesses and commercial uses and zonings exist. The property is primarily in a developing district according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. CR1 is appropriate in this district according to the plan. No parties appeared in opposition to the application. And lastly, the change of zone will not adversely affect neighboring properties or roadways.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1773, Ernest and Donna DeAngelis. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was change of zone number 1774, John R. and Susan K. Eisenbray.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change in zone 1774 for John R. and Susan K. Eisenbray for a change of zone from AR1 to CR1 based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The entire parcel is 1.75 acres in size. The first 300 feet of the property nearest to Route 9 is already zoned C1. Although commercial buildings exist on the C1 portion of the property, all of the property that has been historically used for commercial purposes. There are other nearby businesses and commercial uses in zoning. This rezoning is consistent with those uses. It is appropriate for the zoning district boundaries to match the property's boundaries. And lastly, no party has appeared in opposition to this application.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1774, John R. and Susan K. Eisenbray. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Well, gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening. We have one other item of business, but before we get to that, Mr. Lank, do you have anything else? Or?
Question for IG. Did you give your two motions to deny?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I had before you, or I left before you, two documents. One is a letter from Jim Fuqua in reference to the Convergence Communities application, change of zone 1768, describing the recreational amenities, et cetera, for that site. You remember they were proposing to use jointly with the Ocean View Beach Club facility in the front, the development in the front, being there the same basic developers. And he just described what their intent was, since all that, mostly the amenities are going to be in the town of Ocean View. And wanted to know if that was satisfactory enough to satisfy the question raised by the commission at the during the public hearing.
The second thing is a motion.
One moment.
Oh, sorry.
And if that is, then the record is closed and we have our 40-odd days from today?
45, yeah.
We have to make, you mean the 45 days to make a recommendation?
Yeah.
Correct.
That's closed because it wasn't asked for any written comments.
Right.
It was just information for the commission.
It starts from today.
So the record is closed, yeah. And we.
We should put it on the agenda to close the record.
Yeah, that's true.
This is information.
Yeah, the next June meeting, if we could put
next
that on the agenda.
Next meeting, we'll close the record.
To announce that it's closed, okay. And that will start the 45 days.
It needs to be on the agenda to close.
Okay. Yeah, good. Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry.
That's right. The next one is. It's a motion for re-argument, but to get to that point and a little bit of background, we had a hearing, was it the Point Farm? I don't remember the name of
it. It was Harbor Point.
Harbor Point subdivision outside Lewis. It was the one that had kind of bounced in and out of annexation.
New Road.
Gerald Lechleiter was an individual in opposition. unbeknownst to really anybody at the county, including any of the county attorneys, or we hadn't been served, he apparently had filed an appeal in Superior Court from the Planning and Zoning Commission's approval of that. The Superior Court, also unbeknownst to anybody at the county or the county attorneys, issued a letter that dismissed his appeal without any further action on behalf of the county. A copy of that letter, for informational sake, was sent to Moore and Rutt, and it worked its way to me. So he appealed it. It got dismissed. I'd like to take credit for some brilliant lawyering to get it dismissed, but none of us had anything to do with it. The judge did. Anyway, what he's done now is filed a motion to re-argue why that decision shouldn't have been dismissed or why that appeal shouldn't have been dismissed. So that's kind of where it is. At this point, you know, I'm not going to give any advice on what we should or shouldn't do, but I don't even know that we've actually been served with a copy of any pleadings. But there's a potential appeal floating out there. The reason for the dismissal was that he didn't comply with time constraints. That's what the judge said. And he's saying that, well, it was an incorrect decision, that he should be allowed to go forward.
So. Things have been working so well without your involvement, I don't think.
Yeah, I know. I just, involved.
Yeah. Yeah. The least said it, the better at
yeah.
this point.
Well, because, I mean, that's just informational sake. We haven't actually, to my knowledge, been served with anything. So, yeah.
Right.
I'll let you know when it becomes official, but if it does.
All right. Very good. May 21st, 1945. World War II had just begun to end with VE Day, shortly thereafter by a momentous event that all of us have been the great beneficiaries of. And with that, I will turn the proceedings over to the Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And with that statement, I have something that on behalf of the commission, and we'll include Mr. Robertson in here, to present to Mr. Lank on the occasion of his 70th birthday today. This was my father's, who served with Mr. Lank for, 18 years on this Planning and Zoning Commission. This is a 1913 Farm Journal map of the roads of Sussex County. I believe it's probably the road map that they used when he started at planning, wasn't it, Lawrence? It's got all the dirt roads and such.
Holy cow! Looks like the same roads that are today.
pretty much.
It's, the same condition.
And they're in the same shape they were too.
Yeah.
They haven't spent a dime on them since then.
That's a before Del Don and after Del Don moment.
The commission and Mr. Robertson.
That's right.
Well, I thank you for that.
On your
and I will cherish
here. Congratulations, Mr. Lane.
Happy birthday.
I will cherish this in memory of your dad, because I thoroughly enjoyed working with him, and many years of taking him around to see the properties and the sites considered for public hearing. And I really enjoyed when he always asked me
how many miles.
Tell him how many miles we went so he could write it down. I don't know what he did with it.
Mr. Lank, would you mind sharing with the commission how the fellow employees helped you decorate your office today?
Well, I took most of it down before anybody got there. I had signs, and I ended up picking 12 or 15 signs up all over the building, even inside the elevator. So I even went to the bathroom just be safe. And I think we had 35 beautiful black balloons in the office. It looked like a black forest. And a big banner with some old pictures when I had on red slacks and bell bottoms and all that when I was
hair.
And hair down to my shoulders.
Really?
It was a hoot. They treated me well today.
All right.
I was tickled. I actually was tickled over it.
Great.
That's funny. Yeah, well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And with that, we stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing.
And we're going to have a website presentation possibly at our next meeting.
Yeah.
And our next meeting is what, June
11th.
If you want.
We might have to talk about that.
Yeah.
We have to look at what's on the agenda before we pick the date. We're going to give that demo.
Yeah. Either that or the next one.
Either one of the June meetings. Yeah. One of them is a little slack than the other one. So I have to look
at
it.
Quite a break coming up here then.
I think in the email that. Mr. Wheatley forwarded. If not, I'll forward it tomorrow. There's a link to it. If you can't find it on the county website, I don't know if it's up.